Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord travels to Indraprastha. We'll finish the chapter today. Around 39, we'll repeat that verse, I guess. Govindam Griham Aniya. Deva Devesham Adritaha. Pujayam Navidat Krityam. Modo pahato nripa. Govindam grihamaniya. Deva devesham adhitaha. Pujayam navidat krityam. Modo pahato nripa. Govindam, Lord Krishna, Griham, to his quarters, Aniya, bringing, Deva, of all gods, Devi Isham, the supreme god and controller, Adityaha, reverential, Pujayam, in the ritual worship, Naabidat, did not know, Krityam, the details of performance, Pramoda, by his great joy, Upahataha, overwhelmed, Nripaha, the king. Translation and support. King Yudhisthira respectfully brought Lord Govinda, the supreme god of gods, to his personal quarters. The king was so overcome with joy that he could not remember all the rituals of worship. Srila Prabhupada writes, as he brought Krishna within the palace, King Yudhisthira became so confused in his jubilation that he practically forgot what he was to do at the time in order to receive Krishna and worship him properly. Text 40 together. Pritri Svasur Guru Stri Nam Krishna's Chakre Divadanam Swayam Chak Krishnaya Rajan Bhaginya Chabivanditaha. Lord Krishna bowed down to his aunt and wives of his elders, O king, and then Draupadi, and then the Lord's sister bowed down to him. Report. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Krishna delightfully offered his respectful obeisances to Kunti and other elderly ladies of the palace. His younger sister, Subhadra, was also standing there with Draupadi, and both offered their respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Vashra Panchotita Krishna Krishna Patnish Chasavashaha Anarcha Rukmini Satyam Bhadram Jambavatim Tata Talindim Mitrindam Cha Shaivyam Nagna Jitim Sitim Anyastha Vyagatayastu Vashakshan Mandanam Vidhi. Encouraged by her mother-in-law, Draupadi worshipped all of Lord Krishna's wives, including Rukmini, Pachamama, Bhadra, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, the descendant of Shibi, the chaste Nagnajiti, and the other queens of the Lord who were present. Draupadi honored them all with such gifts as clothing, flower garlands, and jewelry. That's 43. Sukham nivasayam asa dharmarajo janardanam sasainyam sanugam hasyam sabayam chanavam namam. King Yudhisthira arranged for Krishna's rest and saw to it that all who came along with him, namely his queens, soldiers, ministers, and secretaries, were comfortably situated. He arranged that they would experience a new feature of reception every day of staying as guests of the Pandavas. Report. This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, 44 and 45. Tarpayitva Pandavena Vanim Paraguna Samyutaha Mochayitva Mayam Jena Ragne Divya Shabhakuta Uvasa Katichin Masa Ragnat Priya Chikshaya Desiring to please King Yudhisthira, the Lord resided at Indraprastha for several months. During his stay, he and Arjuna satisfied the fire god by offering him the Kandava forest, and they saved Maya Dhanava, who then built King Yudhisthira's celestial assembly hall. The Lord also took the opportunity to go riding in his chariot in the company of Arjuna, surrounded by a retinue of soldiers. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, it was during this time that Lord Sri Krishna, with the help of Arjuna, for the satisfaction of the fire god Agni, allowed Agni to devour the Kandava forest. During the forest fire, Krishna saved the demon Mayasura, who was hiding in the forest. Upon being saved, Mayasura felt obliged to the Pandavas and Lord Krishna, and constructed a wonderful assembly house within the city of Hastinapur. In this way, Lord Krishna, in order to please King Yudhisthira, remained in the city of Hastinapur for several months. During his stay, he enjoyed strolling here and there. He used to drive on chariots along with Arjuna, and many warriors and soldiers used to follow him. Thus, in the purport to the humble service of his divine deity, the 71st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord Travels to India. So we have a peek into more of the reception to Lord Krishna when he comes into Prasa. This is now in the actual sanctuary of the palaces of the royal family. And so this is kind of like a reunion of Krishna with his relatives and family members that he hasn't seen for quite some time, like Queen Kunti and Draupadi and Subhadra. And they have different ways of receiving the Lord. And I was thinking that this is actually very similar to this picture in the back here. You can imagine Krishna and Balaram, his queens and everything, were really, you know, decked out. They had, like in that picture, they have really heavy armor on their arms, and they have helmets with embedded with real jewels of all kinds, not little plastic glass that we have in here, but real jewels and gems. And I would picture that they don't have them in this picture, but I would picture they had those little pointed shoes, like in King and I, you know, to go around like this, you know, at the end, pointy things. And they have swords. So this is a very kingly reception that they're receiving, a different mood. Then we see, like what was mentioned yesterday, in Vaikuntha and in Mathura and places like that, where Krishna's in his dhoti and probably no shoes on or anything like that. So it's a little different mood. I was going door to door over very close to here, actually over off a hip road a few weeks ago, and And I knocked on one door, and one man came, and we talked, and then he said, actually, I've seen God. He said, he spent about 20 minutes telling me the different ways he saw God every time I was with him. But anyway, he said, the first time he saw him, he said, I didn't know what to do. And I said, I know what to do. You're trying not to do the bow down. And he goes, actually, I went home and I opened the Bible. And you know how it is in scripture? You just kind of open it and it answers your questions. I said, yeah. And he goes, there it said, to bow down. So now he says, now I know what to do. I'm supposed to bow down. I said, I could have done that. Anyway, so here we see that most of the relatives are actually bowing down, or Anjali at least, paying their respects, which is a little bit different than we heard a few days ago about how they embraced and things like that. But we have very good training. We know exactly what to do because they have art tickets, a nice reception for the Lord so many different times of the day. Even just bowing down, we know not to have, you know, how many points to have on the ground and how to, I mean, what less dandavas. I mean, that's like I never saw that or heard of it anywhere in any churches. But we even know to do that. So it's refreshing to know that we have such wonderful training. It's also discussed that Arjuna, he didn't. I guess he was attempting to bow down, just like when you see an old friend, you know, who haven't seen for a while, they come over and they're going to try to bow down, touch your feet, you know. A devotee, and you go, no way, no, I mean, you're not going to do that. You catch them before they get down there, and you give them the big hug. So the sweetness of that friendship, Krishna maintains, he protects by not allowing Arjuna to be down, to go down on his hands and knees. But we see here that King Yudhisthira, he loses it. He's the best of the followers of Vedic ritual and everything. But here, he's in such ecstasy seeing Krishna and that he just forgets what to do. So you can imagine that state of ecstasy. We can remember, too, that Vidura's wife, when Krishna popped in to have some simple shop at Vidura's house, the wife is like just looking at Krishna. You can imagine, he hands Krishna the banana peel rather than the banana. So these things can go on, I guess. It would be a nice problem to have. There was also another instance which I have heard about six different interpretations of who it was, but a devotee was fanning and saw the peacock feather and went into ecstasy and was thinking, no, I can't go into ecstasy now because I have the service of fanning. So we see Prabhupada too. He actually at times, probably a lot of times, he was withholding his ecstasy so that he could direct us and to give us the proper education on how to act in front of the Lord. There's also a nice reception I can think of Lord Brahma. When Krishna came to see Lord Brahma after the realizations, he came over and he shook hands. Says it actually shook hands, and then didn't they embrace? But I thought that was a little unique. I never heard of Krishna doing that before. So we don't have this problem, but we have the training. Maybe someday we will have this feeling of ecstasy and lose ourselves in the service of Krishna. It would be a nice problem to have, that's for sure. But we also learn how to, in the nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, how to serve the different devotees and how to serve Krishna. We were reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita class the other day, a bunch of ladies, that we got stuck on the part where Sanatana Goswami was teaching Amaratma's explanation, but Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami about all the regulations of when you come in the temple, what you do and how do you serve the deities, and 64 of this and 10 of this and 23 of that. And we were like, wow, I forgot all about that one. Wow, what does it mean by that? And we all had different interpretations and experiences. So there's so much in there. But we have the opportunity to receive the devotees, just like I think it's described that even your enemy you should treat as Narayan in some. So I have a very nice opportunity because Narayan is coming to my house. So I get to serve Narayani, there for the next week. So this is good training for us. But in those instructions of how to receive the Lord and the devotees properly, there were some very nice appropriate things that we should be conscious of. That in the different seasons, there are different flowers and fruits and vegetables that it's described in one of those explanations that as soon as the fruit comes in season, it should be taken to the deer. So as soon as you see, you know, the first strawberries or the first the blueberries, they should be brought to the deer. Also, it says not to skimp on your offerings. Here, royal worship. So many wonderful things are being offered. But also, we have our gardens and we have our things like that. It's not that we take the weird-looking things and the not-so-nice things and bring it to the deity kitchen. No, you bring your best zucchini and the best this and the best that, at least the first of them, to the Lord. So we should make sure we have that proper mentality, not that we give just the rejects to the kitchen. And also it says that you should serve according to your means. We can't come up to this standard. We don't have the jewels and all the paraphernalia, but we do the best we can. And we try to serve the Lord, especially as it also describes that the most important thing is the devotion that is behind all these offerings, which are very, very healthy for us. And there are many do's and don'ts, but these are all very healthy for our consciousness, that we know how to come in front of the Lord and have that proper mentality. So the nectar and destruction, nectar devotion are all there. It's described here that all the people that came with the Lord, they got received nicely too. Even every day there was a new reception for them. And it reminds me of the Indian hospitality, which is amazing, totally amazing. Puts us all to shame, any other country. Except I heard Turkey is also very, very much in tune on receiving guests. But Lakshmi Moni went to a wedding, devotee in Bombay, and people were flown in on jets and airplanes for it. He was a very wealthy person. And she actually was received every single day with new clothes. And I imagine everyone all had new clothes when they arrived, and every single day a new set of clothes there. And they had elephants, polo on elephants, and they had, you can imagine, the prasadam, so to speak of prasadam. So this still can go on if you have the ability. But so nice that they did that in honor of the devotees. So we have to become better hosts. I must say this temple is not known for taking care of guests properly. There are many comments that, oh yeah, you know, Prabhupada disciples, well, now I'm back home, I get treated like, you know, with the old regular. We appreciate it, but other devotees, you know, other guests, we should not think that way. We should think, here comes this guest, that guest, any guest, and take care of them properly. So we have a lot of room for improvement, and we have a lot of opportunities coming up to take care of our guests better. Even on just like a weekend, we have some guests here right now, and hopefully that the prasadam table out here is clean and organized, that the first people didn't leave it a trashed mess, you know, that we can take the guests out there and there'll be a clean plate and be cleaned properly, and someone might even be there to serve them. But so we really lack in this department, and I think it's temple needs to change that. And I'm just as to blame as even. So we do have some opportunities to meditate on this. Recently, President Obama went back to Kenya. I think it was Kenya. And you can imagine, it was describing how the people there were getting ready to receive Obama, you know, his relatives, and they probably rehearsed everything, and it was their meditation, you know, this big reception. So in the same way, we should have that much more so, that mentality that we're going to have maybe hundreds and hundreds of guests coming in the next month. How can we receive them better? This is a good meditation for us. It's not like we can be too outgoing for our guests. But every day we have an opportunity to receive the Lord. This Aarti ceremony, or just coming in the temple,
And it's so sweet, especially Mangala Arati, it's described in Brahmasamhita that one of the arts of the spiritual world is to wake the guru at dawn with song. So here, every morning, we could come and wake Guru and Krishna before dawn with song and dance. Such a wonderful opportunity we have. We should take advantage of that and realize that it is one of the arts of the spiritual world. And we have to learn how to perfect that. So Krishna's very nice. He's making himself available here, he says, for several months. But Krishna's making himself available every single day, all day long, pretty much here in the temple. So at least one time a day we should come see him, offer some prayers, or offer something from the bottom of our hearts. Recently the Pope, I guess he's kind of like a sannyasi almost. He has a very nice mentality of traveling a lot and being very simple. Pope Francis is his name, I think. I saw an article about him, and it's described that he is so popular because of one main reason, is that he makes himself available. He actually goes amongst the people. So Krishna is so kind. He makes himself available every single day, even in just his holy name. Just in his holy name, everyone can have his association. So we should beg, borrow, steal, it's described, to get the nectar of that holy name and have that most wonderful association. And then we think, okay, well, 45 years, how many Mangal Archives? Probably about 16,000 Mangal Archives I've been at, probably going on 17,000 Mangal Archives. And sometimes we think, oh, yeah, same old, come here, you know, and in the rut, you know, and we're like zombie boxers, you know, coming here on automatic, coming, standing, la-di-da, yeah, and what's going on, and where's the action, and who's leading, and this is really not where we should be at, you know. It should be ever fresh. If we're in the proper consciousness, it should be ever fresh. So that mentality that we're coming to the temple to be entertained should be eradicated. We're not coming here for our entertainment. We're coming here to entertain the Lord with our dance and with our song. We were discussing the other night that even, you know, just standing there with your hands behind the back, not good. It's the mentality that, okay, you know what's next? So we should have, somehow or other, we should pray to have some enthusiasm to give whatever we have, whatever energy we have early in the morning or whenever we come to the Lord in the form of prayer, praise, whatever we can. I feel sorry for the children because they come and sometimes they can't even, you know, there's people here, they can't even see the Lord and they can't really participate. And you see, they get bored. They just want to go outside. Mom, I want to go outside. Give me $1 so I can go get something, you know. So we have to try to interact with them, try to let them participate more and more. Like, it was nice having him play the drum, you know, and encourage him in whatever way we can so that he can also participate. So we should be conscious of that because this is, it's so important that we come before the Lord, and there doesn't have to be a big action going on when you're having darshan. It's an internal action that's going on, the reception between our hearts and the Lord. And this is what actually is so potent. That's why we can stand here for so long. You look at Prabhupada, and he would be completely immersed in the Lord, not doing anything but looking. And you know internally what's going on. And sometimes those tears would come. So when we come in front of the Lord, it should be very deep internal heart-to-heart connection. And this is how we can entertain the Lord, by giving our heart more and more. The Nectar Devotion also describes that when you come to the temple, you should bring something. I remember a long time ago, we used to have a little basket of rice, and then you would come and you'd take some and you'd put in a little basket over there. And that would be, you wouldn't have to think about bringing anything, but at least it was that action that you put some rice in the basket and found the Lord, that we would supply it over here. It wasn't at this temple, it was a long time ago. It was in Boulder, Colorado, we did it. So we were trying to to give something to the Lord every day. Here's described that all the tradesmen brought things. They may have brought some of those fancy little shoes, or they would have brought the best thing in their shop, you know, that they made, all the crafty people, or the people that know so many slogans like Pushkar would come and praise the Lord with all the different verses. You know, I know when the Vidur Prabhu comes up, he stands in front of the Lord and just, you know, ripples all these verses out every time, you know, and that's his offering to the Lord. So this is what we need to do. We need to become more giving of whatever we have. Bhagavad Gita says, you know, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, you give away, do as an offering to me. It's an appreciation. And then it goes on to say that in this way you'll be free from the bondage, the auspicious and inauspicious result. And with your mind fixed on me, in the principle of renunciation, you'll be liberated and you'll come to me. So this is the art. This is bhakti. This is how we're going to come to Krishna, by giving more and more. It is renunciation. We have to start giving up especially our mentality of wanting everything for ourselves. That's how we got here in the first place. So now, what can I give to Krishna? So it's like we have to be willing to take things out of our baggage and put them aside, and not take them with us. Now, the airline companies, they've done a good job at preparing us. Now you can barely take anything, right? Pretty soon you're not going to be able to take hand luggage. You're not going to take, you know, you'll be able to take like a little picnic basket with your stuff in it. So we're already getting promoted by the airline company. I remember my mother, she used to, it would take her days to pack. The shoes had to match the bag, and there were 10 bags and 10 pairs of shoes. And they could go to the airport with these humongous bags, you know. But now people are living, right? They're living with just, you know, a few changes of clothes. Otherwise, you got to pay like $25 for every extra bag, something like that. So also, we were hearing the other day in class that to get to Vaikuntha, to get to Krishna Loka, there are heavy security guards. There's little tridents, right? There's 7 little tridents that poke you. They don't let you come in. So if you got the wrong baggage, you know, the wrong things in your bag, you're not going to make it. So we have to get more in the mood of realizing that the security check, that we have to get rid of all of our false ego. We have to get rid of all the anarthas in our heart. We have to slim down in the size of our desires and purify them and make them totally spiritual. Otherwise, we have to pay the price of another birth. I don't know about you guys, but enough is enough. Right? Let's get out of here. But Srila Prabhupada, he tricked the security guards. When he came in, he had some trunks, right? And what were in those trunks? Bombs. Very deadly things. They were thinking, oh, this old man, he really likes to read, doesn't he? But here, now, it's way too late. They've already been put in every language, or all over the world, or in every country. And then he brought the holy name too. Now it's being sung all over the planet, and it's changing everybody's consciousness. So they didn't detect that, because inside, they couldn't see inside his heart that this man had the proper consciousness. He had the love for his spiritual master, and he wanted to save the world. This was his pure spiritual desire. He just wanted to serve a spiritual master. He wanted to save everyone on the planet. Not only that, he said he wanted to save everyone in the universe. So Prabhupada tricked everybody. So he also had the secret weapon, prasadam, in his bag too, which he, I think a can of gulab jamun that he brought with him for survival here. So we have much to do to thank our spiritual master and Krishna. And we should think within our minds how we can train our children to have something, to have an art, to have a craft, to have the ability to come here and participate in the activity so they can also give to Krishna. I always like it when they write cards and they'll put them on the altar and stuff like that. And it's very personal. Or they give their presentations and perform and things like that. But we also, too, should search it within ourselves, what more we can do for Krishna, what more entertainment for the devotees and for Krishna we can do. We need entertainment. It's a social necessity. But we have to figure out how we can make it so Krishnaized that everyone will want to come to our social events. Every single one of them, they won't want to go out there. So we have to become very expert in it. And probably Krishna says, just fix your mind on me. And thus you will live in me always. Engage your intelligence. Every day we should be thinking more of what we can do for Krishna. Otherwise, it will be stale. Coming here will be stale. It'll be the ho-hum, yes, go to the temple. So we have to become very fresh in what we can do for Krishna. And that's inspired by hearing and chanting and associating with the devotees. And never be sorry that we can give too much. It all goes in that transcendental bank account. Plus, we've got to give it all to Krishna anyway. He's going to snatch it away from us. So we can't hide it. We can try to hide it, but he'll find it. He always is described, you know, he sees not only what you give, but he sees what you don't give, what you keep in that pocket. So we can try to humble ourselves and make sure that we're in second mentality, especially in the next coming weeks. Celebration is so important. Here we see it. We engage everybody in the city, everyone. Plus, the people that are receiving them, they might not be giving something to the Lord. They're just so happy to see the Lord. In the same way, when we have events here and there's entertainment for the devotees and Krishna's pleasure, just we have to have people in the audience, too. So those people, they have to become good audience. It really makes a difference to the performers that we put out our effort and to really clap and show our appreciation. I know that my husband's very sensitive for his audiences, I guess you could say. But he says, oh, yeah. I remember he was a good audience. And my girl who used to do dramas when he was here, he would be such a good audience because he realized that we need encouragement, whoever's performing and things like that. So everybody should be thinking how they can increase their service to the devotees and the Krishna and make it every celebration wonderful. Sometimes in the very beginning, we really blew it. Prabhupada made us do it again. Even though it was on that day, like one of the first class pujas, he just said, forget it. I'm going to teach you how to do it. We'll try again tomorrow. So he was very sensitive that we did things right. I was in Los Angeles, Radhashtami, and he someone made a concoction out of some curd and dates and nuts or something like that, and the doctor of Radhashtami, he got serious. He said, what is this concoction? It should be the topmost preparation, no concoction. And I remember I was sitting with him in a really funky little presentation of the Sringa prayers, little slideshows, and some audio thing in the background. And he was sitting very close to me, and I watched him. He was a great audience. You know, he was like jumping out of his vyasasan, you know, when Narayana Srinadeva was doing this, and doing this, and doing that, and Ranakasha Pool was doing this. And he was just like a little kid in a movie theater. So he was a great audience, too, and he appreciated it. So hopefully the Lord will appreciate our attempts at our next celebration. And it gives impressions to our guests, too. It will impress them for the rest of their life if they come to a really nice celebration and they're treated like royal guests. So that's all I want to say. Anybody else have something they'd like to add to that? If not, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.